Hello, everybody, and welcome to a fabulous, once again, fabulous edition of the Falcon Cast. And we have an unusual setup here today as I am in studio, but my man, Mr. Jay Adams, is somewhere Skyping. We won't say exactly where he is. We'll just say he is Skyping, but he is here and he's for you guys. Jay, tell the people hello.
I'm in a secret location in a bunker somewhere. I am Skyping in this week because I feel like we have created such a following on FalconCast that even though the summer is so tumultuous with the schedule of the four of us, that we can't even all four get in the same room together anymore, true. That we still have to find some kind of way to bring people the Falcon Cast. And so I had to be downtown all day, and we're just making it happen, man.
Yeah.
We're Skyping in. We're making it happen. John couldn't join us because Skype doesn't work in Punta Cana, apparently.
And people are like, what kind of vacation is this guy on? I mean, he is still in the Punta Cana. We got Bozex here, but John is still
I'm here.
Out and about.
Still gone. Still gone. And so hopefully John's enjoying his vacation because I am about to go on vacation myself on Thursday, actually, as this is going up.
Nice.
And I will be out of town, so hopefully he comes back so you guys can Falcon Cast next week.
Well, Jay, we appreciate you especially getting on the Skype for us because last week we got a lot of great reviews about all the football talk that we had, and we have a lot of more Falcon news this week, even though, like we said, not much going on in the summer, but there's always things to talk about here at the branch. And obviously there was news this week about Tevin Coleman returning kicks, which was probably a surprise to some people. But talk about Tevin Coleman and the possibility of him returning kicks this season for the Falcons.
Well, yeah, I think what's interesting is kind of Dan Quinn's approach to OTAs. And we're really starting to see what his philosophy is during the second week now, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, if we can dream it up, let's try it and see if it works. And if it doesn't work, that's fine.
Right.
If it works, we found out something that we didn't know before.
Right.
So you're in a situation where you've got Devin Hester, who is still unable to participate in any kind of practice scenario at all. He's not dressed out for practice. He's just watching from the sideline. So he's still recovering from that toe injury. And so you've got some guys who have the capability of returning some kicks who are on the roster right now. Namely, Justin Hardy's getting a lot of looks there.
Mm-hmm.
You drafted seventh rounder Devin Fuller. He should be getting a lot of looks, but he, tweaked the hamstring back in rookie minicamp, and he's still working his way back. So he's kind of been on the shelf as well. So you're like, well, we need to have some guys take some reps. So you throw Weems back there, and you throw, hey, Tevin Coleman, why not? Why don't you go back there and field some kicks? And, you know, it's kind of interesting because, I know the name Tevin Coleman doesn't exactly inspire a ton of confidence with Falcons fans because he had a rough rookie season. I mean, we all know that. You know, it's that's a tough one to kind of come back from. I don't know that it can get much worse than that if you're a, fourth-round pick. But I think he's got a chance now at redemption. He's healthy. He spoke to the media earlier this week. He feels great. He's healthy. He understands, he says, how to take care of his body now, which, Shock, I'm sure you can attest to, is a full-time job unto itself.
No doubt.
For these guys. And so they're deciding, hey, let's try Tevin Coleman at kick and punt return. Let's throw some rookies into the first team defense. Let's try a wide receiver who's normally a slot guy on the outside. I mean, that's kind of the way Dan Quinn's approaching OTAs, and so we're seeing this big mixture of different looks, different scenarios. So I think I said it last week, but take any reports that you hear right now with a grain of salt, because just because you hear that somebody is playing, taking snaps with the first team doesn't mean that that's the way it's going to be week one. But it's interesting to see how some of these guys are being placed and kind of the creativity that's going into the coaching staff's plan for OTAs.
Yeah, I think you brought up a lot of great points, especially talking about Tevin. And last year, a lot of the fans probably looked at him and said, you know, it was kind of a down year for him. He got hurt. He had a couple fumbles here and there, some certain times throughout a couple games last year, and people weren't really high on Tevin Coleman. I think coming into this second year, having that confidence from Coach Quinn, having a second year on his belt to get back out there and show him what he can do, and also have another way where he can get the football in his hand. Returning kicks, he's a fast, he's a guy who can cut really quickly as far as when you think about running backs, you think about guys that are one cut and go guys, especially on a kick return. He's that type of player. And for him to have the opportunity to go back and return kicks, like you mentioned, Devin Hester coming off an injury. You got 9-year vet Weems, who we've seen around here for years, do everything that you need him to do if guys go down. But having a guy like Tevin Coleman who can be multifaceted and things he can do, I think it's definitely come big for him in his second year. Then another point you brought up about was having some of those rookies in with the first team. And that's something that when I was here and even throughout the league, you didn't see much of that, especially this early in OTAs, throwing them in the fire, seeing what they got. Don't wait till the preseason to see can these guys handle it. And I think Coach Quinn talked about it early in this week when asked about it. And he said, you know, these are situations that we want to see these guys in right now. These are situations we want to see, can they handle it? He said, obviously, there's going to be some messed up, some burnt assignments, some things that go wrong while you're out there. But we want to see these guys go out and play with the first team unit guys and see if they can play as fast as the first team guys. And Jay, I think you brought up a great point, and he's really trying to switch up the culture. He's really trying to change the mind frame of what everybody is thinking and saying, hey, just because you're a rookie don't mean you won't be thrown in the fire right now.
Right. And that's a huge, that goes a long way, I think, towards building somebody's confidence. You think about the guys who probably need that little extra edge of confidence. And you would immediately think about your rookies, your first year players, but you would also think about a Tevin Coleman. You would think about a guy who, you know, his season basically ended because he fell in the shower last year. I mean, these are things that, you know, I mean, that's a rough way to have your season end.
Yeah.
And I know that it was a, you know, a lot of people joking around on Twitter about that, but that's a serious thing. If you fall in the shower so hard that you get concussed and are ultimately held out of, I think it was 3 or 4 games, like that's a serious situation. And we're lucky that it wasn't much worse than that. But I think, you know, he had high expectations coming in when he was drafted last year.
Mm-hmm.
And he came in and he said, look, I want to start. I want to vie for the starting position. During OTAs last year, Devontae Freeman came in and said, hey, I didn't come here to play second fiddle to anybody.
Right.
So we had one heck of a running back battle going into training camp, and it turned out that Tevin Coleman was the guy who was better.
Yeah.
Coleman gets injured with those ribs, and that's kind of the first domino to fall for him in a tumultuous season. And Freeman comes in and explodes and, I mean, just leaves everybody in his wake. And Coleman tries to come back and he'll get some carries here and there and he's fumbling. And so we all saw the problems. We all saw what happened. But for a guy like him, for a guy like a Devondre Campbell, who's a fourth round pick, getting looks with the first team, getting looks in different spots, I think helps your confidence because coaches are trying to find a way to get you on the field.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And, I mean, it's so big for even I think the fans have a hard time really fathoming that these guys need confidence. And these – just because they make millions of dollars, some guys are, you know, 5, 6, even 10 years in, they still need their coaches to believe in them. And even a guy like Tevin Coleman in his second year with so much talent – still needs his coaches to believe in him. And like you said, putting him in positions where he can possibly be successful. Like even Tevin Coleman was a guy who everybody thought was going to take over and be the guy for this, you know, Falcon team as far as being the number one running back. But I think we got to understand that this league is built around a having two or three running backs sometimes. Most teams have at least two. The days of Adrian Peterson, you know, being back there by themselves is, I think, far and gone. You need a couple guys who can do a lot of different things. I mean, you look over at what Tennessee Titans did this year. They bring over DeMarco Murray, but then they draft Big Henry out of Alabama. Everybody knows you need a couple running backs as opposed for your team. But Tevin Coleman, him getting some returns back there at kickoffs, also read that there is they use a couple guys back there as well. They said Devontae Freeman even returned some kicks back there, Teron Ward. So he's giving all the guys a shot to see what they can do. And I think Coach Quinn loves the idea that they're so used to making that one cut and go, especially in the zone scheme. They can make one cut, get north and south, and that's what the kickoff is about. And that's what we've seen over the years with a guy like Devin Hester. He puts his foot in the ground, he gets north and south, and he picks up positive yards for you.
Right, exactly. And with that guy on the bench for you right now, I mean, it's a perfect opportunity to see what some of these other guys have. You could have some guys in that mix who have never returned a kick in their entire career, and they might find a niche within that particular special team. So yeah. I like what they're doing. I like that they're giving some of these guys some different looks. You know, as much confidence as it builds, it also challenges some of these guys because it takes them out of their comfort zone. You know, especially if you're a guy who is playing a Sam and now all of a sudden you're moved over to Leo, there's different responsibilities there, and you may not have as much confidence in one over the other, but you're being forced to adjust and yeah. adapt and yeah. and learn that position. And I think that sets you up to be a better player down the road. And right. I think any time that you can throw them into the fire and get them, you know, those reps, mm-hmm. because, you know, DJ, the more reps you take, the slower the game becomes for you.
Absolutely.
And so I think that's really what's behind all this is, you know, worst case scenario, if one guy goes down, can we move Devondre Campbell over to the other side and can he play there if we have to do that?
Right.
A lot of teams have to think about that right now. And you've got such a surplus at the linebacker spot right now. You want to give everybody looks at every different position so that you can actually see what you've got on that linebacking core.
And just to kind of switch gears here a little bit, Jay, you talk about guys moving from different positions. How about the Atlanta Falcons this year coming into the offseason? You lose Terry Rubisky. He goes down to Tennessee to become the offensive coordinator. And instead of going outside of house, Coach Quinn stays in-house and hires Raheem Morris as the receivers coach for the Atlanta Falcons. And that is everybody coming in, you know, wasn't really sure of how that kind of change would come over. He's a defensive guy coming over to coach the receivers. As we know, the receiver group can have a different dynamic as far as the personality, especially that are here. You lose Roddy White, obviously one of the veterans of your team, and now you have Raheem Morris coming over, and he's coaching your receivers, the likes of a Julio Jones. You bring in Mohamed Sanu. Hardy is back. I mean, you got a bunch of guys in this room, Eric Weems, who have a lot of personality, but you have a guy like Raheem Morris, and right now all indications seem like this is a great move for the receiver corps as well as for the Falcons.
It's really looking that way, and that's why I wanted to talk about this week is, you know, I've had 2 weeks to look at OTA practices and just kind of thinking about some of the things that jump out to me, and this relationship between the wideouts and Raheem Morris already is just – it's amazing. And yes, I'm going to use that word amazing as many times as I want to.
On
Twitter who counted the number of times I used amazing last week.
It had something to do with some guy up north, huh? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. But it was amazing. And it's amazing. And he's amazing. And his tweets are amazing. So,
Hey, Jay, you're going to hear about this. You know that, right?
Oh, yeah. No, I know it. But it's going to be amazing. But really,
You know what, Jay? It's pretty amazing that somebody got onto you about it, and then there was a big tweet from a guy from Michigan who used the word amazing a couple times in the tweet with the little banter going back with him and Nick Saban. So I think the word amazing is used really well.
See, I started that trend. It's amazing that I started
a week later,
that trend.
You can be in that drama if you want to.
Yep.
Well,
exactly.
I guess you're already in it because, you know, hey.
Yeah, I mean, I'm already here. So But back to Raheem Morris and the wide receivers. I was trying to explain this to people back when they initially made that move, and I understand the shock over something like that because you're taking a defensive coach, a guy who, as far as you know, has never really done much in his coaching career at the offensive level, and you're moving him over to the wide receiver position, a spot that's got, without argument, your best player at that position. And as a fan, you're maybe a little worried about how that's going to change things. Is it going to help them? Is it going to hurt them? Like, what is the thinking behind that? And, you know, at the time, Coach Quinn said, look, I just wanted the best guy for the job. I wasn't looking for the best wide receivers coach. I was looking for the best guy, the guy who could connect with these guys and really make a difference in them on the field and off the field. And knowing Raheem Morris, getting to know him over the last year, I can certainly say that is exactly why he picked the guy in house to take over that spot, because Raheem is, he's just one of those likable guys. He's everybody's friend. I don't know that he's ever met a stranger. It's really cool to watch him interact with these guys because they get him. He gets them. They're not, from an age perspective, they're not all that far apart, so they can relate to each other on a different level. They looked at Terry Rubisky as like a father figure, but this is a guy who is like a brother to them, maybe a big brother to them. So the dynamic isn't all that different. I see a lot more energy. I see a lot more, I'd say, comfortability and just a bit of looseness from the wide receivers as far as how they're approaching practice and all that. And I think a lot of that is just the cues that they're taking from Raheem, who kind of comes from that same mindset as Dan Quinn about everything's competitive. We're going to compete every single day in everything. And I watch, you know, these guys, they'll be doing special teams drills. They'll be doing field goal, extra point, that kind of stuff. And the wide receivers are over on the side playing catch. Meanwhile, everybody else is kind of watching what's going on. You know, they're always working with each other. And that's what I really like to see from these guys, is that they're building this bond with him that I think is just going to end up paying dividends down the road, because this is a guy that they already trust. He brings energy. He fires them up. And really, you talk about that room and you talk about Julio Jones, or you talk about Eric Weems and Devin Hester. And, you know, there's not a ton of coaching that needs to be done, I would say. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, you've got to coach up a Justin Hardy a little bit. You've got some young wide receivers there who are going to try to make their mark. But that's going to be more on the special team side of things. I mean, what are you going to tell? What's anybody going to tell Julio Jones to improve his game? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
It's like you just want a guy in that room who's going to be the glue. And I think you've got that in Raheem Morris.
Yeah, and I think a couple things. When I think about Raheem and I think about the change, the switch coming from the defensive side of the ball, I'll give you a couple different things that I feel that makes this work for this unit. And I remember talking to D'Angelo Hall, who he coached out in Washington, and I asked D'Angelo about Raheem when, you know, he first came. And to be able to get to a guy like D'Angelo, to get the most out of him, and we know what D'Angelo can bring to the table as far as, you know, personality and attitude, and he can do what he wants. But it seemed like he found a way to get to him. And you knew that was the type of personality you need, especially on this team, and they now move into receivers. And also I remember just a month or two back during the draft, Raheem comes into you guys' office – during the draft, and he is in the middle of everybody just chucking it up, having a good time talking. And that's the personality. You know, most coaches, you know, this is the draft. You know, they're back in their bunker, and, you know, they're concentrating. And he comes down, and he's talking, he's cracking jokes with everybody. And I think that goes a long way, like you talk about in the bond, not just with players, with everybody. He's a guy that you come up to. And like you said, he's everybody's friend. And most people think about it as, okay, yeah, he gets along with the players, but he gets along with everybody. And it makes him want to be that guy you want to be around. And you say those guys are going to give him more because they know exactly what he's about. They know what kind of attitude he's going to bring. I saw a couple of guys, when I was talking to Weems about it, and he said every day he's energetic. Every day he is, you know, bringing the best he has out of everybody. He's excited. And you can see he's going to get the most out of those guys because they're going to want to play for him because they know exactly what he's about. And from day one, he's going to give them everything that he has.
Yeah, and I think that when you meet him, and you get to see his personality. I don't even know that you need to meet him. If you're coming out to training camp or mini camp this year and you're out there and you can just see the way he coaches, it's very easy to see how Tampa Bay took a chance on a young head coach a couple of years ago. You know, it's very easy to see how he could have come into an interview and really dazzled. And I don't think that that is the only stint that Raheem Morris will have as a head coach in the NFL. I could see absolutely down the line he's going to get another shot at a head coaching job. But it's his ability to connect with people that I think is perhaps his biggest asset. And this is a guy who knows football. I mean, it's not like he's bringing nothing to the table as far as football knowledge goes. The guy's been around. He's been around a lot of big players, done a lot of things in his career. But having that innate, uncoachable ability to bring people together and connect with people is it's truly something that is rare in, I'd say just people in general. Heck, I was going to say football coaches, but I'd say, you know, people in general, it's rare that you find those people that are just so magnetic that you just want to be around all the time because they're just so cool. And so that's how he is. If I was a wide receiver and he was my coach, I wouldn't care about his previous defensive resume. Yeah. I would view that as, well, this guy can give me some insight into how corners are going to play me and what I need to be watching for on that side of the ball. But more than anything, I want to know, am I going to have a good time in the room with him? Mm-hmm. Am I going to have a good time being a part of his position? Those would be the things that I would think about as a professional football player, being underneath this guy is this going to feel like a job or is this going to feel like just me going out and playing my game? And, Jay, and I think there's a big difference between those two.
You took the words right out of my mouth a couple of minutes ago when you talked about his ability. I think it's an advantage that he coached on the defensive side of the ball. I think there's still an advantage, and you just spoke on it. This is one thing that popped into my mind about him coming from the defensive side is he's going to know exactly what to look for, what defense are trying to do. You say, what can he teach a Julio Jones? Okay, this is the same guy who is on defense, and he has a premier receiver that he's going against. He's going to have to find a way to stop this guy. So now he can give Julio, say, okay, this is what they want to do to you. This is the type of coverages. These are the type of kind of skill sets that corners are wanting to try to have against you. And it's going to help him just go that much further in his progression and get even better than he is now. You also talk about his ability to reach people, his ability to I've been around some players. I've been around some guys who hate their room, who hate the coach in their room. And they just, every day it's like, man, I hate going in there with this guy. This guy is so boring. This guy, I go to sleep. It's you hear guys, and it takes away from their play because at the end of the day, you have to feel good. You have to want to be there. And at the end of the day, a lot of people don't realize it, but this is a job for these guys. These guys have to wake up early. They have to leave late. They got to make sure they fine-tune their craft because guess what? If not, somebody else is going to replace you, just like in the real world. If you're not doing your job, you don't enjoy it, the guy upstairs is going to notice it, and he's going to find somebody who does. So I've been around so many guys who do not like their meeting room, who don't like their coach, who don't like the way they're coached, and to have a guy who can coach the way that he does and be able to reach this particular set of personalities that are in the receiver room, not just with the Falcons, but anyway, all over the league. We know receivers are guys who have unique personalities, and there's no different here. And he's a guy with a unique personality as well and can reach a lot of guys. Now, on the other side of the ball, jump on the defense side of the ball for a second, there's some guys doing some really interesting things this offseason to get ready for this season. And everybody's talked about Vic Beasley has to show up. We need him to play better. He needs, you know, double-digit sacks. We know what Paul Warlow's been to this team over the past 3 years. And even with that being said, these guys are still finding ways to get better. And Jay, you brought this to my attention. Beasley did some Pilates this offseason. Is that right?
It is.
He added it to his routine?
It is what he says has completely changed around his routine. You know, I put out a picture, I think it was a few weeks ago on Twitter, and it kind of made its way around Falcons Nation a bit of where of Vic Beasley from rookie minicamp last year and then where he was at just a couple of weeks ago from a body standpoint. And the difference is striking. There are very distinct curves in the arms of this guy right now. He's put on a lot of that good weight, and we talked about that last year. You know, DJ, I'll be honest. I don't know a lot about Pilates. I know my way around a weight room. I don't know what a Pilates is. I've heard that it might involve like yoga pants, which if so, I'm in. but other than that, like, I don't really know a whole lot about it. I think it has to do with maybe, I don't know. I'm just going to guess here, like core strength or something like that. I don't know. But whatever it is, he swears by it. And he says it's the one thing that's really changed up his body, his routine, his conditioning, everything. And so, hey, if it works, man. But you used to hear about, you know, back when I was in high school, you'd hear about like the offensive linemen that would take ballet lessons, you know, just to get that footwork going. I mean, if whatever works, I don't care what you do, as long as it's going to work and translate to the football field.
And one good thing about it is you talked about guys doing the ballet back in the days. And even when Coach Quinn first got here, he brought in doing boxing. And
right.
If you've ever been to Flower Branch, I know a lot of people haven't seen it, but he has, you know, he has the big old boxing gloves. He has the big old,
speed bag.
He has a speed bag. He has punching bags. He has all that kind of stuff around here. And you wonder, what's that for? And a lot of good things help athletes become better athletes. And Pilates is another way for him to become more flexible. It's like doing yoga, like you've mentioned, having good core strength.
That's what I thought. Yeah. It's got yoga pants in it.
It's kind of similar. But guys are always looking for a way to find an edge. And as a guy who sometimes when guys get injured a lot or guys go through certain things, they have to change up their routine, do some things that's going to help them functionally get better. And a lot of teams do a lot of different things as far as, I mean, everybody does massages and things like that. But adding some stuff on your own that's not associated with your own workout plan here at your facility goes a long way. And it shows that he is trying to go the extra mile to make sure his body is functionally healthier throughout an entire, you know, 20-game season, you know, with preseason.
Well, DJ, you know, this is a point that I think you could really speak to and really kind of break it down for people who have, you know, never been in an NFL building or seen what it's like to be an NFL player. But, you know, it's a heck of a lot more than just showing up and going to practice. We talked about it earlier with Tevin Coleman saying, hey, it's my second year. I finally learned how to take care of my body. Mm-hmm. Explain what that means. What does that mean for an NFL player to just make sure that they're taking care of themselves?
The best way I can explain it is it's a long season, and everybody knows how tough of a sport football is, and you know, you can have injuries here or there, but if you take care of your body, most of the guys think about it as whether you're working out or whether you you know, doing things as far as shakes and all that kind of stuff. But the best thing you can do is be able to take care of your body with massages, making sure your body is healthy, getting yourself back ready to go by a Wednesday or Thursday in the week so that your body is fully healthy. You're taking care of your body goes all the way back to your nutrition, making sure you're eating right, putting the right things in your body, which gives you more energy. That gives you your body the more nutrients it needs to fight through when you get tired, when you're sweating so much and everything's coming up out of you. You still have that kind of when you're taking care of your body can fight back and be able to get back into shape faster. And that's what it is. Everybody understands you're going to get tired. Things are going to get nicked up. But if you're taking care of your body can heal faster because it's used to you putting the things in it that's going to help you, whether it's shakes, whether it's what you eat, whether you're getting massages, whether you're getting in the cold tub, whether you're getting in the sauna or something, or the steam room before to loosen your muscles and joints up. All those things go hand in hand with taking care of your body. And this is not just something you do in off season. These guys have to do this every single day to make sure that they are ready for Sunday because they play at such a high level. They beat their body up so much, and you got to build it back up. So you have to take care of your body to be able to last entire season. And that's what coaches depend on you for, because you have to be available, and they don't care nothing about you got some injuries or, you know, you're sore. You got to be available in this league in order to get the big payday.
And this is one of those things that, you know, I think is an impediment for, you know, we've heard in years past the talk about the 18-week season or 18-game season, you know, and playing two extra games and why the players are so much against that. You know, that's one of those things is it plays into, I mean, a 16-game season already is very, very long, and it's way longer than what most of these guys are going to be used to coming into the NFL. You know, you play maybe 10, 11 games in college. All of a sudden, 16 games is like a marathon, and you really have to pay attention to how your body is reacting to the different times of year. And I'll just give a couple of examples that I've noticed, because I've never gone through this, but these are just things that I've noticed is that, so right now, OTAs, these guys are going through the second week of that. It is hot here in Georgia. Mm-hmm. It is very, very hot. Tuesday was training camp hot out there. When we were out there, I mean, it was ugly. And I think a lot of these guys who aren't used to that weather or maybe weren't prepared for that weather, found themselves a little gassed towards the end of practice, found themselves in a situation where, hey, maybe I didn't hydrate enough before practice. I saw several guys leaving that day with literal 8-pack bottles of water. And they do that to kind of keep track of how much they drink. And so you'll say, all right, I got to drink these 8 bottles of water before I go to bed tonight to make sure I'm rehydrated. That's and that's just one thing that you can do. I know that guys will get massages on Fridays during the season so that, you know, kind of loosens them up, you know, before the couple of days before the game. And, you know, you kind of get rid of some soreness from a hard Wednesday and Thursday practice. We saw on Hard Knocks 2 years ago when Devontae Freeman had to come out of practice as a rookie during training camp because he didn't eat breakfast. Those, they're so small things. You know, we're talking about some real first world problems here about making sure you get in the steam room and get in the sauna and make sure you eat breakfast and like all that other stuff. But man, sometimes I'm not an athlete. Sometimes I don't want breakfast. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I don't want to sit in the steam room. Sometimes I don't want to go in the cold tub. I don't have a reason to be in any of those places, but I can't imagine, you know, having to do that all the time. And you know, so to have the commitment to pay attention to what your body needs, especially right now, as you're trying to build conditioning, you know, that's when I think one of the things I think it gets lost over this time of the year is, yeah, you're playing around with some guys in positions and all that other stuff, but ultimately you're conditioning your body to get ready for that grind of training camp. So now is when you need to be getting into that routine of finding out what works for you. Right. Is it I'm taking 8 bottles of water home? Is it that I'm sitting in the cold tub after practice? And these are those routines that these guys got to develop.
And I think one thing that I think people fail to realize, well, you may do realize it, but this is a what have you done for me lately league. And I think the players understand that as well. And if you're in the equipment room or you're in the place where you got to make sure you're getting better, if that means you're not on the field. And in this league, if you're not on the field, there's no way they can count on you. So there's going to be somebody else to take your spot. So these guys know how important each and every day is, because if you have a bad day, you better make sure you're healthy enough to come back and show the coaches that you can be better on the next day. And if you're in the cold tub and not on the field, you're going to have an issue, and it's going to be a tougher time getting your job back. But another guy who's done some really great things for this Falcons team defensively and has been a stalemate the last couple of years, been the tackling machine for the Falcons, is Paul Warlow. And he's added some MMA to his offseason routine. You can say, what does this guy need to get better? Because he tackles everything in his sight, but he's done some MMA, huh, Jay?
Yeah. So I think this goes back to if you listen to last week's episode, we were talking about the film session that, head coach Dan Quinn put on for us. And it started with Keith Armstrong talking about some special teams. But first, you know, it was Dan Quinn telling us about this rugby style tackling. And a big part of this tackling is getting leverage, wrapping a guy up, and basically rolling him. You know how like an alligator will grab a hold of something and it'll do the death roll?
Yeah, spinning underwater,
Yeah, that's basically what is being taught. And so when you think about that type of technique as a human, I mean, what better sport to compare it to than that of mixed martial arts, where you know, these guys are down on the ground all the time, rolling around. Sometimes your strategy is to get a guy on the ground. If you're a ground and pound kind of guy, you know, you want to know how to get your opponent on the ground. I think it's ingenious from Paul's perspective to be like, you know what? These guys got something. I think the only thing more smart would have been if he went off and played rugby in the offseason, but that's not a possibility. You know, you can learn some MMA techniques without risking too much. I don't know that you can say that about rugby, but you know, it's a lot of the principles are the same. And so I think it's really, really smart. I think, you know, Paul's the kind of guy that he's always going to be the guy fighting the uphill battle, right? He's an undrafted guy out of Delaware. Nobody knew him. The only offer that he got coming out of Delaware was from the Falcons. He came here, put together a lights out training camp, made the team, ends up starting middle linebacker. And he gets a lot of criticism from fans still. And it's because they see him as a guy who's not making tackles in the backfield. He's not making tackles on the first hit. Well, let me tell you something, guys. There is nobody on this team who works harder than that guy. Okay. Nobody. He might as well, we joke all the time, but he might as well have a cot in the weight room there, because he is there that much. And so this is a guy who takes a lot of pride in his craft. Mm-hmm. And to take that extra initiative and be like, you know what, with this style of tackling that I'm being taught now, MMA seems like it would fit closest really well. Yeah, it's. I think it shows dedication, and it shows a willingness to be like, yeah, I may be a starting middle linebacker right now, but I don't believe my job is safe by any means. Especially the way that the Falcons drafted, you've got to think, man, I got to do everything I can to get an edge. And that's exactly what he does, and I got so much respect for him for that.
And you got to have respect for a guy who is your middle linebacker, who sits inside, who makes all the calls, very similar to what your quarterback does in offense. He's kind of your quarterback on defense. And to take the initiative, like you mentioned, to go out and do something different, to kind of find a way to this is the best way I can, you know, get myself better. And you got to give him some credit for that. And also, I think MMA teaches, especially tacklers, how to strategize on how to make certain plays, because they have to fight off offensive line. They got to, you know, use their right arm to get loose and then use your left arm to make the tackle. And sometimes in MMA, yeah, it's all about angles. It's all about trying to find a way to get a guy down, or, you know, is he leaning one way or another? And MMA, I think, teaches you some of those same characteristics that you talk about that you got to have when you're tackling a guy. Like you talked about in rugby, where you got to strategize on how to get a guy to the ground. And I think MMA, like you mentioned, is the closest thing to that, like as opposed to playing rugby, to help you really find a way to get there and get yourself better, and give Paul Warlow a little credit for that.
Oh yeah, and we talked about leverage last week because yeah. leverage is a big thing with this this new style of tackling that Dan Quinn has been teaching. Leverage is everything, and really when you look at MMA and you look at football tackling, this style of tackling, I mean they're very much one and the same. You're looking for, like you said, DJ, that angle. You're yeah. looking for the leverage. You're looking yeah. for where from a physics standpoint am I in the best possible spot to get this guy on the ground. And when you think about why that's important, I got a couple of names for you. Cam Newton,
yeah.
Jameis Winston, big guys.
These guys are in your division too, is that right? Yeah, that's awesome.
Exactly. I mean, these are big guys who you're going to get hits on, and it's not a guarantee that you're going to bring them down. I guarantee you that Grady Jarrett looks at that one hit he had on Cam Newton at Carolina where he had him dead to rights in the backfield
yep.
and didn't wrap him up, and Cam was able to escape. I guarantee you that a lot of those guys who had experienced those problems before, where maybe you're hitting Adrian Peterson a little too high,
yeah.
or you're hitting Cam Newton a little too high, or you're not wrapping him up, or you're not doing the roll part of the technique. I'm going to venture to guess that there's going to be a lot of those guys not making that same mistake in yeah. 2016.
No doubt about it. Before we get out of here, when we get to our break with Bosek here in a second, a couple things going on here in Flowery Branch. Dwight Freeney actually visiting the team, actually working out for the team. I think Dwight Freeney is a guy who intrigues some people, and some people probably question why are we wasting the time to bring in a guy of, you know, of his tenure to see if he can fit. But I think Dwight Freeney has a lot left in the tank. He's a guy similar to, I want to say, Roddy White, who still has some things to prove, knows he can still play the game, and definitely can help another team. So I think a lot of people are still high on Dwight Freeney. I think the Falcons are high on him. It's a reason why he's come here. He actually had a workout with Cincinnati, so he's coming here now. So, you know, Jay, what's your perspective on the possibility of bringing or working Dwight Freeney out here?
I think it's another piece of evidence where Dan Quinn's going to look under every rock
yeah.
that he possibly can to make this team better, to make sure that by the time training camp comes along, he's got the best 90 guys that he could possibly have. You know, you got to kick the tires on a guy like this, because when you finish 32nd, 30, I can't remember where we finished in the league in sacks, but it was 30. It started with 30. you know, that's not very good. So, you know, you've got to kick the tires on a guy like this, because you've got to look at all the different angles here. And I know that some Falcons fans are concerned because the pass rush they feel wasn't truly addressed in this offseason. You know, I think indirectly it was a little bit, but you certainly haven't brought in a guy who is a pass rusher. That's all he does. And,
right.
and you haven't had that guy since John Abraham.
Right.
And so Dwight Freeney is sitting out there. If he's got anything left in the tank,
mm-hmm.
and you want to find that out, you put him on the other side of Vic Beasley, and there could be some really good things that happen for your
yeah.
defense. One guy like that can make a difference. I think it all comes down to, all right, well, what does he want? Because
right.
he's in the final stages of his career. What's ultimately going to bring him to Atlanta as opposed to either going back to Arizona or just hanging up the cleats? And also, what's in it for? What's the fallout for the Falcons? You know, you bring a guy in like him, and maybe he only lasts 1 year. You got to think he's taking away snaps from somebody else
mm-hmm.
who you could be developing.
Mm-hmm.
So there are a couple of different sides to this that I think are very, very interesting. My gut tells me it's a bit of a long shot that, you know, I think they're just doing their due diligence. I mean, it wouldn't surprise me if he got signed, but I think it's probably not the route they're going to go. But I do see, you know, Coach Quinn has said that he will continue to be looking for pass rushers after the draft, after, you know, free agency, all that kind of stuff. He's still going to be looking for pass rushers. So this is just more evidence of that, that they're constantly scouring the talent out there and looking to see if they can bring something to the team.
And Jay, one more thing is, as we saw all season long last year, week in and week out, even if they do not sign you know, Dwight Freeney right now. They're going to know what he looks like. They're going to know exactly how he may perform in their system. And say week three, week four, somebody goes down and you need a guy in there who can come in and, you know, brush the passer, you know what he already has. So we've known the Falcons to make changes throughout the entire season and bring guys in. And usually it's guys that they already seen, guys they already had in camp. So this is, like you mentioned, another chance for them to do some due diligence on a guy and know exactly where he stands if you plan on maybe possibly bringing him in later on.
Sure. I mean, that's very, very good homework to do is you don't have a lot of time when you're talking about, like, a guy gets injured in week three and you got to have a guy ready by week four. It's good to already know that, hey, right, we talked to Dwight Freeney. Here's what he wants. Here's how he looked, how he, you know, seemed. He was healthy. He buys into the team concept, all that kind of stuff. Boom, let's make that transaction and get him in here as fast as possible. That's just doing your homework. And to me, that's encouraging to see, because you want to be in the best possible situation. You know injuries are going to occur. They're going to occur.
Yeah.
So to be to put yourself in a better position to make fast decisions before other teams hop on guys, I think is huge.
Yeah, and just moving on, we talk about every week we have a guy who we like to spotlight, and this is a guy that plays the defensive end position. And if you're bringing a guy like Freeney, maybe taking away snaps from this guy, who is Derek Shelby, who the Falcons acquired in offseason, coming from Miami, very, very solid player for them, played really well, was a guy who was there for him week in and week out. And I think he's a guy who a lot of people are expecting around here in the building to really have a big impact and help this team out, especially when you're talking about rushing the passer on the other side of Vic and also just putting pressure on opposing teams, quarterbacks, and offenses.
Yeah, this is a guy that back when you signed him, there were a lot of people sounding like owls. Like, who? You know, a lot of owls out there on Twitter. Who's this guy? Well, when you take a deeper look at him and you see his – please go look at his highlights, because they're impressive.
Yeah, they're
you talk about crazy. A guy – yeah. You talk about a guy who's played you know, played in 63 games. He's only – this is through 4 years. He's played through 63 games, totaled 76 tackles, 9 total sacks, 4 forced fumbles. I mean, not anything really eye-popping there, but you have to remember – who was playing ahead of him, okay?
Yeah.
And there was a guy by the name of Cam Wake who was playing ahead of him.
Monster, yeah.
Yeah, and so he was a guy who was brought in as a rotational player to give Cam a blow when he needed it, to get him off the field, keep his legs fresh, because that's your pony. That's who you're going with in those crucial situations. So I would say that Shelby, looking at his stats, looking at his highlights, did the best he could with what he had. He got easily his most playing time last year when Wake was injured, and performed really, really well. I mean, those last few games for him are really what set him apart, and I think made him a more attractive free agent as his contract came up in Miami. You know, Miami was probably pretty disappointed that they lost him on the market, because, you lose Olivier Vernon to New York, and you kind of probably figured that was going to happen, especially with how much money they threw at him.
Right.
But you expected this guy to come in and just be – you developed him for 4 years. Now he's going to get a chance to start, and, oh, all of a sudden he just signs with Atlanta.
Yeah.
They were pretty disappointed in that, and that's good for us, because this is a guy who's got potential. He's got 4 years under his belt where he didn't have to be the man. He doesn't have to be the man in Atlanta either. You know, this is not a guy who has to come in and get 10 sacks.
Mm-hmm.
But if he comes in and he gets 6, 7, 8, and you get Vic on the other side who gets 6, 7, 8, maybe 9, 10, that changes things immensely for this defense.
Yeah, it does. And he's just looking at some of his stats here. Back in 2012, he had 0 sacks. But then in 2013, he had 2.5. In 2014, he had 3. And then last year, he had 3.5. So he's continued to get better. No, it's not the numbers that everybody looks at and says ooh and all, but you can see that he's gradually getting better. He played there's only one season where he missed one game within 2014, and their other season, all 16 games. So he's a player that I know the Falcons fans are looking forward to seeing more of.
And And DJ, he is big and strong.
Yeah.
And let me tell you, this guy has he's like Courtney Upshaw, another guy that I'm sure we'll talk about here in the future. But he's got legs for arms. I mean, they're gigantic. It is amazing. Amazing. It is amazing. Absolutely amazing how built he is.
I didn't hear you. Well, what'd you say? I'm sorry.
It was amazing. Oh, okay. His arms are amazing.
Oh,
amazing.
All right, Bo. What you got for us? It's time for the break with Bosek. Obviously, I know he has something great for us, but I'm sure you enjoyed the amazing podcast.
It's been an amazing podcast. One thing I wanted to mention briefly, though, before we got to the break with Bosek, was that our game, speaking of Derek Shelby in Miami, our preseason game in Miami will actually be played in Orlando at the Citrus Bowl.
Whoa.
We're going to Disney World.
Yeah.
Going to Disney World.
We're going to Magic Kingdom.
Good call, Bo. Good call.
I can't wait. Yeah, I just want to let the fans know if they didn't hear that already. So this week, a little different question. We haven't had a video of the week, obviously, because we're audio. But I want to know if you guys saw this video of an alligator or a crocodile in Florida on a golf course. Have you guys seen that?
It looked like a dinosaur. Yeah. I saw that.
Jay, did you?
Oh, no, huge. I haven't seen that one.
It looked like a dinosaur. There was another alligator I saw the other day that was in Louisiana that looked like a dinosaur.
Yeah, so my question was going to be, that was my question, is
no
this
way.
Real or is this like, Matt Haley talked about this at one of our PR managers. He said, is it a Jimmy Kimmel stunt? He's waiting to see if Jimmy Kimmel comes out and says it was a robotic alligator or something.
Jay, I'll start off and say, you know what? I would put nothing past nature. I wouldn't put anything past what goes on because there's things that happen that we have no idea about. But this thing was massive.
It was like walking on its legs, like straight. It had to be like 2 feet tall legs for like a gator or a crocodile.
I don't know about
Let me tell you something, guys. There is a reason that this animal has survived millions and millions and millions of years.
Why is that?
Okay, and is still because it is one BA animal. It is bad, you know what, and they can get big because, you know, they're near the top of their food chain.
Jay, let me tell you, you got to watch this video.
I got to see that video.
Yeah.
We created
the video that swept me off my feet. The video that swept me off my feet recently was the Chewbacca mask woman.
That's a good video. That
is you to watch that without smiling.
That is amazing. The Chewbacca mask.
That
like
is
from
an amazing
Step
video.
Yeah, you haven't seen that. You haven't seen that video. The woman who bought the Chewbacca mask for herself.
No,
you gotta watch that too, Shaq.
No, I gotta see that.
DJ, you gotta watch that video. It'll warm your soul. And this is coming from a completely soulless person. She's just so excited over this mask, and she became a huge viral sensation. I'm sure there are a lot of our listeners who are like, "Oh, I can't believe Jay likes that woman." Look, she was genuinely happy over that.
Well, I like it too.
As happy about anything as she was about that.
Oh, yeah. She had did like a Facebook Live video stream to her friends on Facebook, and then
it was the most viewed Facebook Live post so far, like in its history.
Yeah.
Nice.
So there you go.
Pretty
go
crazy.
Watch that. DJ.
But Jay, back to the gator. I think.
No, I don't
want to
talk about that.
Well, I think if you were to see this video, you would not believe that it was real. So
I need to watch.
Yeah. So we created a FalconCast Twitter account.
Yes.
People, follow the Falcon
and
Cast Twitter account.
I'll tweet it out from there.
Give out that handle, Bo.
The handle is capital ATL FalconCast, ATL FalconCast. And I'll tweet out the video so you guys could easily go there and watch the video.
You gotta watch it
that
on
we're
the
talking
Falcon
about.
Cast Twitter handle.
There it is.
We'll chat along there with you.
Yep.
Well, Jay, we appreciate you, man, hanging out with us Skype via in the bunker somewhere that we're not sure. So hopefully you get out the bunker and you have a great, great vacation, my man. It's been a fun Falcon Cast.
Yeah, you and John and Bo hold it down while I'm gone, and then you know maybe we'll get the four of us in a room together at some point in the future.
Maybe if John ever comes back, you know, it may just be
I don't think it,
me,
it,
Bo, and Trevor next week. Maybe I don't know.
What kind of vacation is that? You're absolutely right, DJ. What kind of vacation is this for John?
We're not
unreal.
Sure. Not sure. Yeah? Not sure. Well, thank you, everybody, for listening to another great edition of the Falcon Cast. We'll see you guys next week, minus our man Jay Adams, because he'll be vacation. He deserves a vacation. So we'll see everybody next week.